And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. And he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. For it was just as the angel had told them. How many of you are familiar with that section of Scripture? You've read it a time or two. That section of Scripture is so familiar, we almost all of us know it as actually being read in the voice of Linus on the Charlie Brown, right? And that's why I chose a different version, so it kind of changed things up a little bit. An amazing story. An amazing story. And it is the reason that we are here tonight. I mean, I know there's lots of great things about the holidays, lots of wonderful things about Christmas Eve and about Christmas that we enjoy, and that's okay. But we are here for one reason, and that is because of the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. Now, I am sure that as it has been my experience, I'm sure it has been yours, that Christmas seems to be a particular time for memories, yes? Do you all have memories of Christmas going way back even, right? I mean, they just kind of get lodged in your head. And just reading that story brings back certain Christmas memories for me. And we all have those. Memories of certain people, special people, special events, special presents. Things like that that have taken place over the years. Well, guys, tonight I want to tell you about one of my favorite memories. If that's okay. I want to tell you about the very best Christmas gift that I ever received, that I ever got. It was a Willy Talk ventriloquist doll. Does anyone here know what one of those is? Did anybody have one? No, I'm the only creepy, weird person who ever wanted one of those things. They are a little creepy when they're sitting in your room at night when the lights are off. But anyway, that's what I wanted, right? I mean, I had seen it in the JCPenney wish book, you know? And I remember, this is in the 70s, I was probably about 10 years old or so. And I remember going to my mom and saying, "I want one of those." You know, I just thought for some reason that that was the coolest thing. And the very first thing that she told me, almost before it was out of my mouth, was, no, that's too expensive. That's way more than what we're planning on this year for Christmas. I'm a little disappointed, but hey, at least you know right up front, right? And technically speaking, Willie Talk didn't even make my Christmas list that year. And that's partly why it's my favorite gift. Here's how it's happened, okay? Like I said, I was about 10 years old. I wake up incredibly early on Christmas morning, ready and raring to open presents. Have any of you ever been there? Yeah. Some of you are there right now, but Kevin's eyes are huge right now. But anyway, we open presents. It's an amazing time, just wonderful time. And, finally we're finished, and me and my brother are starting to, figure out which presents we're going to start playing with right away. And when my mom mentions that there seemed to be a present missing, and her and my dad appear to discuss it amongst themselves. And of course, at this point, they have my undivided attention, right? Greedy little kid that I was. But finally, they concluded that they must have accidentally left one of the gifts in my bedroom. Because, yeah, that's where they stored all the gifts before Christmas. So I guarantee my mom didn't have the word room out of her mouth before I was tearing down the hallway to my bedroom. And sitting there on my bed, I can still picture it. It was brightly colored blocks, cellophane on the front so you could see him. His red shirt that said Willie Talk, ghastly yellow plaid pants. There it is, sitting on my bed. And I guarantee you, I spent the whole rest of Christmas Day ignoring all of the rest of my toys because of that one. If I remember correctly, I think I even took it with us when we went out for breakfast later. Now, over the last 30 years, 40 years, technically, I have received far more expensive gifts than that one. Over that time period, I have received far more useful gifts than a Willie Talk ventriloquist doll. But none of them have ever been as endearing to me as that one. None of them have such a privileged place in my heart, in my memories. And guys, the toy itself was great. Well, actually, to be honest, ventriloquist dolls get a little boring after a while. But anyway, the toy was great, but it remains precious to me primarily for the way it came to me. I wasn't expecting it. And technically, I didn't even get around to actually asking for it. It just showed up. And not even under the tree, right? Not even anywhere near the tree. It was down the hall in my bedroom where I had never received a Christmas gift ever before. It was an unexpected gift found in an unexpected place. You know, Christmas gifts can be like that, can't they? No matter our age, we all have a Christmas list in our mind. Whether it's about gifts or expectations or hopes of what the holidays are going to hold or how our time with friends and family are going to be. And I'm sure we've all come to realize that the expectations around Christmas time can be impossibly high, yes? You know, and that's partly why sometimes we struggle a little bit in the holidays. But I found then, as a little boy, and I still find today, that it is the unexpected gifts of time, of people, of events or presents that bring back to me the true meaning of Christmas. And for good reason. You see, tonight, we gather here to celebrate the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He too was an unexpected gift in an unexpected place. Jesus was born a little over 2,000 years ago. I'm not telling you anything new. We're reminding one another tonight. He was born over 2,000 years ago in a tiny, tiny little hamlet called Bethlehem. His parents, as we read, Mary and Joseph, a young maiden and a carpenter, had traveled there from their hometown of Nazareth. And when they arrived, as Luke tells us in just one little line, there was no room for them in the inn. There was no place for them to stay. The only place they could find was a stable, an animal stable, and that is where Jesus was born. They laid him in the only bed that they had, a manger. That's kind of a nice word that we are very familiar with. It just basically means feeding trough is what it was. His bedding, at best, was probably animal hay. His clothing, Luke tells us, was little more than discarded strips of cloth. And here's the thing, guys. No one noticed. In a very real sense, no one cared. I mean, think about it. The innkeeper had sent this most amazing of all families out back to the stable. No townspeople came by. You know, the paparazzi was not clamoring for a picture of the mother and the baby or anything like that. Matter of fact, the angels had to appear, as we read, as a heavenly multitude to get the shepherds' attention so that they would go see. The star of Bethlehem had to shine bright to draw the wise men to Bethlehem. And so, and still it is today, only a handful of people that night noticed. Only a few came. It still amazes me that the Son of God was born in such a humble way. Does that amaze you? So unexpectedly, so tenderly, without a press release or marketing plan. And you see, that is itself part of the gift, isn't it? For the way that Jesus came to us is just as important as the fact that He came at all. Because if you have read any of the Old Testament, then you are probably very well aware that this was not how God was accustomed to showing up. Yes? I mean, think of Mount Sinai. Nothing humble, nothing unexpected. I mean, you might say it's a bit on the unexpected side for the Jews, but boy, it was out there, right? I mean, we're talking fire and thunder and earthquakes and lightning and smoke and darkness and the booming voice of God to such an extent they were saying, "Stop talking to us." This is kind of how we picture the God of the universe showing up on the scene. You see, those appearances of God served the purpose of cementing in the minds of the Jews God's very real holiness, His purity, His power, His authority, and just how far in their sinfulness and in their rebellion they were from Him. I guarantee you, nobody left Mount Sinai thinking, "Hey, God, me, we're buds," you know? I mean, they fully understood the awe of God. You see, God was about to call His people to the only standard He could call them to. His holiness. That's what in fact, He said, "You were to be like me." That's quite a standard, isn't it? Remember, the people that saw Mount Sinai were the first ones to hear that. "You were to be like me." And compared to God's standard, what were they painfully aware of? They always fell short, didn't they? Constantly, consistently. Matter of fact, God even went so far as to help them out by spelling out all of the rules and all of the laws and all of the regulations for them. We call them the Ten Commandments and of course, all of the rest of the law. Did that help? They had it in writing. Did that help them keep it? Did that help them be like God their Father? No. fact, they faltered all the more. And as a result of this sin, guys, as a result of this failure, you know what happened? God and His creation, those He loved so much, grew further and further apart from one another. And all of mankind over the following few thousand years became very tragically aware that they would never measure up, that they were incapable of measuring up to God's holiness. And as a result, they were alienated. They were cut off from a relationship with the very one who had created them. So what do you do? I mean, how does that get repaired? How do you fix that? Should God lower the bar? You know, basically change the rules, cheat just a little bit, you know, so that He can let us off the hook. Well, the problem is He couldn't do that and still remain that holy God of Mount Sinai. To fix the problem, there was only one who could do it. And that is why we're here, you see. God did something unexpected. He gave something unexpected. God Himself came down to be one of us. Does that do anything in your heart and in your mind? To be born as we are born, to live as we live, yet without sin, to die as we die, but then to rise again, so that we might be raised to abundant life and eternal life. You see, guys, Christmas Eve basically tells us, it's basically a celebration of the fact that God is joining us in our struggle to be like Him for goodness and peace and holiness. God enters our world and He enters our lives to transform them, to bring hope, to bring forgiveness, to bring healing and joy. In the birth of Jesus, God, in one fell swoop, collapses that huge distance that existed between us and Him, so that we might be as close to God as a mother and her child. The human and the divine, God and us, wrapped in an embrace. That's what God desired. That's why we celebrate. Jesus came to us in a very unexpected way to show us the depth of God's love for us. To show us that God is so in love with you that He would go to any length, even to being born silently in a stable. An unexpected gift at an unexpected place came a loving God. And guys, did you know Jesus still shows up at unexpected places in our world and in our lives? Do you know, we got to understand, Jesus was not born into relative obscurity in a small corner of our planet. He, you know, as though He was in a little vacuum that we just read about once a year. He was born into a place of conflict, a place of oppression, a place of occupation. Remember, from our story in Luke that we just read, that's why Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem to begin with. So that the occupying Roman Empire would know how much to tax them. Yay, what a wonderful Christmas present, you know? But that's the world into which Jesus was born. And Jesus still shows up in our time when there is much struggle and much strife and much injustice. where sin and rebellion and violence threatens to destroy, there Jesus is born. It's to this that he came. Born to bring hope in the midst of despair. Born to bring light in the middle of darkness. Did you know that Jesus doesn't fear the darkness in us or in our world? He chose to be born here. To humble people in a humble place. The light of the world radiating outward into a cold, dark place from a manger. You know, Jesus is given a lot of names in the Bible, isn't he? Lord, Savior, Messiah. Or as we read about at the beginning of service from Isaiah 9, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But you know, the one that we hear and probably sing about the most around Christmas is Emmanuel. We've sung it a couple times just tonight. Emmanuel. Can anyone tell me what Emmanuel means? That's right. God with us. You see, in Jesus, God entered our reality into our lives. Guys, did you know that God knows what it's like to be human? God knows intimately what we go through. God knows what it's like to have hopes and dreams, to belong and to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be tempted, to suffer, to struggle, to bleed, to die. But you know, I think sometimes the most unexpected place for us to think of God is in our own lives. In our own lives. I think sometimes we secretly think that, you know, God, He's too distant. He's too Mount Sinai. He's too busy. He's too holy. He's just too other than me. Well, guys, tonight I hope through the beautiful songs that we sing this time of year that Christopher and the girls led us in, through this section of Scripture in Luke, through the section of Scripture in Isaiah, I hope that we can be reminded that God chooses to be with us wherever we are. Emmanuel. God is with us tonight. He's with us tomorrow. He is with us always. Jesus is God's love made visible so you could see it. His humble birth put that love on display. It's a beautiful and unexpected gift. In a very humble and unexpected place. And tonight, I pray that your Christmas will be filled with awesome memories. I do. And every day after, of the original and the best unexpected gift that any of us ever received at Christmas. Jesus. It probably surprises no one to find out that Jesus trumps Willie Talk. Amen. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. I do pray that our Christmas will be filled with many unexpected gifts, whether they're presents or relationships, moments of grace. But more importantly, let's remember Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. For it is in the humble and unexpected birth of Him that we fully see. And perhaps for some, maybe see the very first time God's great love for us. And I do also hope and pray that for those of us here tonight who name the name of Jesus Christ, you have You have bowed your knee to Him as your Lord and Savior. You have taken His sacrifice, as Christopher prayed about, that blood shed for you. You have taken that, been covered in that, and now stand before God holy, but not in your own holiness, in the holiness of God. For those of us here tonight who have taken that step, who have not only seen but have tasted of God's love, you have felt the arms around you. You know what Emmanuel means better than anyone. I also hope and pray that we will be lights in this dark world. This cold, dark place we're talking about, that we would shine and share the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. This evening, as we close, to symbolize the coming of that unexpected light into our dark world and the spreading of that light from person to person to person throughout the world, we symbolically spread the flame of Jesus Christ through this room tonight. Guys, that's what a candle lighting service is all about. It's about that picture. And I remind us each Christmas Eve, we do not do this for really cool Christmas ambiance. Okay? We don't do it because the kids love to play with the wax or any of that sort of stuff. We don't do it because it's just tradition. It has a meaning behind it. You see, that unexpected gift was light come into this world, was it not? And you and I, we have that light. But if we just keep it, we're hiding it. Jesus called it hiding it under a bushel, under a basket. I'm hoping and praying that we take that basket and shred it. And let the light of Jesus Christ so shine in our lives, not just at one time of the year, but every day of our lives, so that others will see it. So as we continue to worship, if you guys want to, Chris and the ladies, if you want to come on back up, as we continue to worship, singing of that first Christmas night, and continue celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ together, as your candle is lit by another, I want you to turn and I want you to share that light with the person next to you and light their candle as well. Would you all stand with me, please? Thank you. Father, we are in awe. Lord, tonight here as we enjoy each other's company, as we enjoy the holiday, as we enjoy traditions and music we know so well, Lord, all of that pales in comparison to You and all that You have done for us. Lord, why were You mindful of us? Why did You go to such great lengths to save those who hated You and had rebelled against You? Thank You for that love that bridged the gap we could never bridge. Thank You for sending Your Son to become like us so that we might be saved. Thank You, Jesus, for laying aside Your rights, Your privileges, Your throne, and becoming one of Your own creation. And thank You, Jesus, for not merely being born, but for living a life we could never live without sin, and then dying the death that should have been ours, taking on Yourself the sin that all of us and all of mankind over all time has committed, so that we might be free. Free to love You and free to receive that love. Free to follow You and free to share the amazing, unexpected gift You have given us. Father, as we spend the rest of this evening celebrating with one another, enjoying a meal together, I ask, Lord, that You would bless the food to our bodies. And I ask that You'd bless our conversations. Might they revolve around You. We love You, Father. We thank You for Your presence in this place here tonight on Christmas Eve. We are in awe. And we ask all of this in the name of Your precious only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you guys. As is our tradition, and you're welcome to blow those out if you want, or you can keep them burning all night long. It's up to you. As is our tradition, if you are able to stay and join us, we are having our annual chili cook-off just outside in the hallway and up the stairs. You're free to make your way there right now and enjoy one another's company and enjoy the remainder of this holiday. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas.